Some people ask me why I'm so happy, even when sorrows press on. They see me laughing while the storm's raging. They wonder where I get my song. But they cannot see the trouble I faced not so very long ago. Well, to comprehend this joy that's within, there's something they need to know. Well, I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered from a desert dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den, given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued. Well, I used to feel trouble. My sorrows were double as the burdens of life held me down. I was defeated till I saw what I needed, then His tender mercy I found. And though life is rough, I'm not giving up. Even when I'm tested and I'm tried, I'll not waste time doubting. I'm gonna go on shouting, I cross to the winning side.
Well, that is something of good music. I love it. I love it. I hate even to turn it off. Put it on hold, I guess I would say, and welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. It's also open telecast, but today the camera's not on, but the audio is on. So you're there, and you're listening, and you got the picture of our sanctuary in front of you. That may look better than I look. Hey, I hate to say that, but it's just the truth. But it probably does look better than I look. I'll put the numbers up once in a while, and we're going to have just a regular, great broadcast. All of our radio friends won't know the difference, but the internet people who look instead of listen, many of you just listen, I know, radios and iPhones and all kinds of little devices out there where you can hear this great broadcast, and I want you to get right in the middle of it today. Let's have a wonderful broadcast, a wonderful telecast, and without looking at my face. Well, that may make it better. I don't know. We won't worry about it. The camera may come on any moment. Everything's turned on. Everything's plugged in. Everything's hooked up. Everything is right the best I know. But I'm still learning. This business of streaming by camera all over the world has been a year, nearly 2 years of learning. And we keep having problems that I can't solve unless some technician somewhere comes in and does it for me. Well, I have good help and I'm grateful. Let's go today to the book of Isaiah 53. I'm going to talk to you today about the crushing of the rose of Sharon. The crushing of the rose of Sharon. Now, can you think of something that may be more breathtaking than to remember that Jesus was the rose of Sharon? Jesus was unquestionably the eternal Son of God with an unlimited supernatural power as the divine Son to do all the business of the Father as He walked among men. As He walked in our midst, there is no limit of His grand and wonderful power, and He's ready to heal the sick. The greatest need I can imagine today is for God's church to become so full of the Holy Ghost that healings begin to occur and that blinded eyes begin to open up in the presence of godly and holy men and women, and that, you know, all the needs of the physical person being met by the power of the Son of God. I'm here to tell you the Son of God will meet your needs to the core. There is no lack with him. There is no limit with him. He wants to supply every need you have. Now, one good thing about this today, I don't have to keep my eyes in that camera. I've got used to that, though, and I love it. And I love watching you. I know I can't see you, but I know you're out there. And I love just being personal with you. And hopefully, you'll be personal with me today, and somebody will get a miracle. Somebody, how many of you listening to me all over the world now, all the way to Australia? I don't guess you can get any further than Australia. That's the limit as far as I understand geography and the distance. And it's a wonderful place. And we've got listeners there, watchers there. And I'm grateful for all of you everywhere in the world, everywhere. We're hearing from people all over this globe. And it is a thrill to me. It really is. And my dear friend, I want you to know the healing virtue of the Son of God. I want you to know the healing virtue of the Son of God. I want you to have a miracle from your head to your toes and every need met. And if you could understand the person of Christ, you would know that he is fully able with all of that. Now, we've been doing kind of a Bible study with our program lately and trying to get right into the scripture and bring you things from the Bible that hopefully can change your life. We're in the midst of a youth weekend. The young people have been having a special weekend, and I'm telling you, it has been grand. Last night was a marvelous and great outpouring. Wonderful choir singing for us from down in Alabama. A great preacher man last night. Wonderful tonight. We're looking forward to hearing Keith Ambrose, recently married, a lovely little wife, and he'll be preaching tonight, and he'll be preaching in the morning and tomorrow evening. He's going to preach both services tomorrow, and all I need is a little instruction from the Lord, and we'll go on revival next week. Don't know yet. We're waiting on that, but we're just depending on the Father to show us the way. It's a busy world, and we don't want to try to have revival until we are having revival. You know, having a series of meetings is all most churches are having. Maybe a little good preaching and some good singing, and people enjoy it, and they're being blessed in many cases, and all of that I love. I wouldn't take that away from nobody, but I want a sovereign move of God's Holy Ghost. And last night was the greatest revival service I've been in many years. It was equal to the very best of our camp meeting services. Very best of our camp meeting services. And it was just plain grand. And you ought not miss tonight. You really shouldn't. You absolutely should not miss tonight. I beg of you not to miss tonight. It'll begin at 7 o'clock. Brother Keith Ambrose, I'll repeat, is the preacher. He's a good little preacher, fine young man, just married, just very young. I know he's not over 20, in the early 20s, but he's my friend, and I've known him since he was a little tot running around grandpa and grandma and mother and dad, and around the church services. So I'm looking forward to hearing him, and I'm looking forward to you hearing him. There was at least six saved last night. At least six saved in one service. Did you hear that? And I'm trying to remember, but I believe almost every one of them have been here for breakfast this morning in the morning service. Just a grand crowd. It's the biggest crowd I've seen on Saturday morning in a long time. It was just plain grand. Wonderful choir, though. And Brother Dillard Beatty, our young preacher, pastor, our youth pastor, just was called to preach, just preached his first sermon maybe 2 months ago, preached his fifth sermon this morning, and really just a precious young man, and we're excited about young people and youth revival and an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and so tonight you don't want to miss it. I'm here to tell you, we'll be offering prayer for the sick during the altar time. You need prayer, you want a miracle of healing, you'd like to be, you know, perfectly healed, you're blind and you want your eyes open. You're deaf and you want your ears hearing. Whatever you need, you come. And we will pray for you. And we will believe God to give you a miracle. Now let's go. Isaiah the book of Isaiah. No greater book in the Old Testament than the statesman prophet Isaiah. What a great man. Who? This is Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now listen, he's being talked about Jesus, and this is Isaiah prophesying. You understand, he's prophesying. This is all in the future that he's talking about. The prophecy was given hundreds of years before Christ, and it's exact. Didn't miss a cue, didn't miss a point. He just made it plain. Now listen, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And as a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now listen to that, describing the coming of Jesus Christ, that it was a very simple kind of thing. He didn't come as some great potentate. He didn't come as some, you know, kingly ruler. He wasn't born in some kind of a palace. He was born in a manger. And he came with a humility. And he came with a complete rejection of his own greatness. Humbled himself and became a servant. Humbled himself and became a servant. And Isaiah's trying to show that. He's trying to show us that Jesus didn't come to be some kingly. You see, the Jews had a tremendous messianic view. They knew the king was coming, the Messiah was coming. They knew he'd be born of a virgin. They knew numbers of prophetic things that had been said about him. And they believed that when this king come, this Christ come, that he would sit on the throne of David, that he would defeat all the armies of the aliens, that he would turn away all of those that were in any way, in any fashion, an enemy of a good, holy, and pure world, and set up a kingdom. And the Jews believed that they would be the force where that kingdom would be set up. They had a messianic view that was incredible. Now, as you know, I'm writing a book on Isaiah. Isaiah, where'd I get that? I'm writing a book on John, this is good, the Apostle Paul. I'm writing a book on the Apostle Paul. You're hoping I don't get confused when I'm writing. I know. I'm writing a book on the Apostle Paul to show what a tremendous and great, and this is written as a novel, which nobody's ever written a novel on Apostle Paul that I know of, and I'm excited about it. I'm really having a ball just writing it. I'm right in the middle now, not in the middle of the book, in the middle of the writing, but listen to what they thought about the coming of Christ. The Jews were looking for a kingly man. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon the kingdom, it to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord has spoken this. Now, the reason, listen to me carefully. The reason the Jewish people could not accept Jesus as the Messiah is because they did not see those wonderful promises in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 being fulfilled. They expected him to set up a kingdom. They didn't look for one to be crucified and to die on a cross. They wasn't looking for some event such as was occurring around them. And so they rejected him. They could not receive that. They thought they were going to immediately see the throwing off of the Roman government and all other governments and a worldwide, godly, righteous kingdom be established over which their Messiah would rule the world. And they didn't accept Jesus because he did not fulfill that right in front of their face. He said to them, my kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom will not yet be revealed, but at the right moment it will be revealed. But the church age age had to transpire in there between the Messiah's coming and the great day of the Messianic kingdom. And so Jesus comes now in this humble, no great kind of appearance, and no kingly attire. And it's not happening in a great palace. It's happening in a manger. And so they could not receive him. That's why it says he had no form or comeliness. There was nothing that when we look upon him, we could desire him. There was no beauty to arrest us. And then he goes on, Isaiah does. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Hey, we hid as our faces, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now listen, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, you get the picture. They were looking for the kingly one, but he comes as the humble one. They was looking for the man on a white horse that would be yet in the future, but they didn't understand that future. They was looking for it then and there, but now they see him broken. They see him being despised and rejected, and all the rulers of Israel begin to despise and reject him. He was winning the hearts of the people, but he wasn't showing them the kingly aspect of what they expected, and so they were rejecting him. But now, listen to what he was doing. He was coming to save. He was coming to heal. He was coming to work supernatural miracles. He was coming to do things of which their mind could not grasp. And it's marvelous when you begin to think of this, when you begin to understand who he really was. It is indeed a marvelous affair. And thank God for what he came to do, what he came to accomplish, what he came to work and perform in our hearts and in our lives. Now, let's understand. He said, this is what Isaiah said. Now, listen, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We are healed. We are healed. Peter says it later, we were healed. Now, I'm here to tell you today that Jesus literally came to save your soul. And there's nothing more important than the fact that Jesus came to save your soul. Nothing is more wonderful than that. Nothing could I think about as being more precious and absolutely perfect than that. It is grand to even think about. It is grand to consider. He came to save your soul. That's first. That's primary. That's of the grave importance. Every man and woman who rejects Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord will spend eternity in a devil's hell. Do you hear me? Every person who rejects the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior and your Lord, by his blood, nothing will save you but his blood. Nothing will wash away your sins but his blood. Nothing will make you whole again but his blood. His blood saves souls. Now, that's beautiful, and that's primary, and that's what I preach above everything I preach. But I believe in the whole Bible, and I believe in the whole gospel. Have you ever heard of a full gospel church? That's what we Pentecostals used to be called. That was probably our better day, when we were called full gospel churches. And why were we called full gospel churches? Because we believe that Jesus came to save indeed. That was number one. But he also came to heal the sick. He also came to open blinded eyes. He also came to give the deaf back their hearing, and the lame back their walking, and the dumb back their talking. He came to work miracles. He came to work miracles. By his stripes, we are healed. Now, that's just as plain as the nose on your face. How many out there can really say, I believe that Jesus heals the sick? I believe that Jesus heals the sick. Our church is praying and crying out to God for a great Holy Ghost revival. Our youth this weekend are having this great weekend, and the whole theme is to shake the city. Shake the city. They want to shake the city. And I'm here to tell you, the services last night and this morning have been city shaking in events. I'm seeing people in church that thrills my heart. We had people last night coming that, you know, that were hungry, and tonight's going to be better. And there's hundreds of you that can get off your duffs and get here in church tonight at 7 o'clock. That's 5110 Tuckasegee Road, and you could have your miracle. You may need to be saved. We had a parent of our school, one of our students, that was saved last night, a dear man. I've been praying for him about 5 years, ever since he put his son in our school. And I believe last night was the beginning of a glorious time for him in his future and his son, because his son needs his daddy saved as much as the daddy needs himself saved. And so last night it occurred, and I'm grateful. We had two of our ninth graders wonderfully converted to Christ last evening. It was beautiful. It was breathtaking. It was wonderful. And that's what God wants. That's what God appoints. That's what God gives us, because we are important to him, and he's ready to save, and he'll save you. How many of you out there that need to be born again? How many of you are church members, but you've never had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ? You're members of the church. You've claimed to be Christians for years, but you've never had an experience that made a new creature out of you, that literally set you on your dust to start living a life of surrender to Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, unless you take up your cross and follow him, you cannot be his disciple. That's a very simple thing. Now, I want questions. I want to hear from you on the phones. Let me give you something. I'm going to give you an article I have written on the question of the Rose of Sharon and divine healing. Now, this booklet will be something you can put in your Bible, beautiful front cover. You can put it in your Bible, and you can begin to read it a little bit at a time, and just soak up those scriptures that are in it. Soak them up, and realize if you believe the Word of God, you can have a healing miracle. If you believe the Word of God, you can have a healing miracle. Now, I love it. People always ask me, can anybody be healed? And there's no such thing as any limit on anything Jesus does for anybody. He knows no respect of persons. He has healed me so many times. Here I am over 80 and still going full bloom because he has healed my body. He has laid his hand upon it. I've been very sick at times. I mean, I've been exhausted at times. And he just refreshes me. He renews me. He gives me a miracle. For the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, isn't that beautiful? They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall renew their strength or their youth like an eagle. Oh, he's done it for me. He's done it for me. Now, the number to call, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. The local number, 704-391-0588. I hadn't even given that, had it. 391-0588. That's 391-0588. Let me put the numbers up. You can't see me, but you can see the numbers, okay? That might help you that are listening by video or by your computer. And so give a call. We want to answer your question. We want to pray at the 15 till hour. The 15 till, 15 till the top of the hour, I'm going to stop to pray for the sick. Everybody out there that needs a miracle, you can have a miracle. I want you to know that. I believe in divine healing provided for all in the atonement. I believe for divine healing provided for all in the atonement. If you don't get healed, it's because you don't claim and settle and take advantage of the promise of the Bible, of the Word of God, and believe it. I mean believe it. I don't mean halfway believe it. I don't mean pray while you're going to somewhere to get some physical help. I mean just turning that thing over to God and believe in God for a miracle. If you go for cancer surgery and then you take all of their radium, it's probably going to kill you about twice as quickly as the cancer would kill you. That's just my opinion, but it's been seen in by all of us over and over again. So why not learn to trust Christ? Let's believe Him to heal your body. Let's believe Him to give you a miracle. There's nothing I would like better than believe in God with any one of you today for a miracle. Okay? I believe it. Now let me read on. You got to understand this scripture. This scripture is really breathtaking. Let me read 5 again. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Every one of you listen. Read it with me. And with His stripes we are healed. Now that's Isaiah 53:5. And let's read it together. And with His stripes we are healed. Now the word H-E-A-L-E-D means exactly what the word is. It means healed. I hear people arguing all the time. They get into some of the most ridiculous thinking. Well, He didn't really mean healing the body. Well, why did He not say that? He said healed. I mean, you got to believe what He said. You have no right to personally intercept the scripture by your own opinion and change it according to your own thinking. You can be healed. Now grab your phone. I want you to call. I want you to ask any question about divine healing that's in your mind. Anything. Disagree with me? I don't mind hearing you say, well, I just don't agree with you, Brother Chambers, and here's why I don't, and give about a 30-second description of why you don't, and I'll treat you nice, and we'll go on, because the truth is up to you. If you want to believe the truth, that's your right. If you don't want to believe the truth, that's your right. It's dangerous not to believe the truth. Unbelief is one of the things that God must hate the worst. He really does hate unbelief. He really does hate unbelief. But all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone, listen to this now, we have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own ways, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Isn't that marvelous? That the Lord hath laid it on him the iniquity of us all. Now, let me say again to all of you out there who are watching on internet, I know you only see in the sanctuary. My camera will not connect to the computer today. It's on, everything's on, but just would not make the connection. I do not know why, but I'll get it solved. I'll always find somebody who will help me. So you understand that. You're hearing the same thing, and you're not having to watch my face. That may be a blessing to some of you. I'll leave that up to you. All right, verse 7. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. You say, was he ever in prison? Was he ever in jail? Yes. Yes, I've been to the very place where he was incarcerated that morning after he was arrested before the trial continued in the day. And so I've been there. I've seen the prison room. I've seen the very place they say that he was incarcerated. So yes, a Bible is perfect. Every word of it is true. You can depend upon it. Now, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord. Now we're reading Isaiah 53. This is a breathtaking chapter. You ought to get out your Bible, and between now and the end of our day, read Isaiah 53 a time or two. And say to yourself, I'm going to start believing this chapter. I'm going to start believing this. And then trace it through the whole Bible, through the New Testament. Chase it and until you find every promise in the Bible. We'll go in a moment and see some other promises. You just can be healed. You just can be healed. You say, I don't know nobody that prays for the sick. Well, you do know somebody. You know me. If you're listening to this program or watching watching it on the internet, of course, you're seeing just the inside of our sanctuary, but that's a beautiful sight. So enjoy that and listen to me carefully. I want you to know you can be healed. And tonight we'll be praying for the sick. Tomorrow morning, we will again. Every time there's someone in our congregation that wants prayer for their body, we stop and pray for them. We do it just like the Bible said, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Now, I want to hear from you. The lines are open. 30 minutes has gone, and I've enjoyed it, but I want to hear from you. I want you to ask the question that may be of special importance to you. I really want to hear from you. I want to answer your question. I want to pray with you. I want to do whatever for you I can do to be a blessing. So grab your phones. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. And then the toll-free number. Well, that was the toll-free number. I'm sorry. 1-800-338-7884. The local number, 704-391-0588. Do you realize this is the 43rd year that we've been on this radio doing open Bible dialogue? Do you realize how many people have been blessed and saved? We've had a multitude of people saved because of this broadcast. I hear from people in parts of the world that you said, are they listening there? Yes, Australia. That's as far as you can get. You know, they're listening because people want to hear the old-fashioned truth of the Bible. There is not many today that preach the old-fashioned truths of the Bible. Well, we do that, and we do it because we love it, and we do it because we want you to believe God. Now, grab your phone. I want to hear from a few of you that just simply believe in divine healing. Maybe you can take a moment and tell us, I've been healed, Brother Chambers. Here's what the Lord healed me of. Now, I've always done a program at least once a year on divine healing. I believe these are doctrines and truths that you never put on the shelf. You never turn aside from them. You keep believing everything that's in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, that settles it. If it's in the Bible, you have a right to know it. You have a right to believe it. You have a right to hear it and love it. I'm serious. You have a right for all of that. And I want you to enjoy that. And I want you to love it. Now grab your phone. The lines are open. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, and we want to hear from you if you believe in divine healing. Do you believe in divine healing? Do you really believe that Jesus does heal the sick? You know, I'd love to know. There's so little of real confidence in many promises of the Bible today. We really don't take time to really stand on the Word. We look in all directions for help. We lean utterly on the arm of the flesh. Did you know the Bible said, cursed is he that leaneth on the arm of the flesh? I mean, there is so much damage going on in the medical world. All you got to do is read the statistics. Go on your computer and look up how many accidents are made in hospital rooms every year, how many people die unnecessarily because the wrong prescription has been issued, or the wrong surgery has been performed, or just simply because somebody forgot to put the right name on the medicine. I mean, listen, friend, you can trust Christ. He is a healer. Did you know that? He is a marvelous and a blessed healer, and he would love to heal you. He would love to make you well. So let's spend these last 30 minutes. I've given you the truth. I've laid it in front of you. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He, that's God, puts Jesus, his son, to death. Why did he do it? Because he saw his soul as an offering for sin. He gave his own son as an offering for his wonderful grace. Friend, I'm telling you, Jesus is what you need. Jesus is all you need. I've been a Christian 64 years now. I'm 80. I was saved at 16. And it's been such a wonderful, wonderful walk. I've been healed of gallbladder. I've been healed of cancer. I've been healed of a heart attack. I mean, he has just given me wonderful miracles. And today could be your day for the miracle. You're on the air. May I help you, please? Wait a minute here. I forgot to turn something on that I have to turn on. You on, sir. May I help you?
Brother Joe, how are you today?
I'm wonderful.
Amen. I'm grateful for your young people. They're praying for the shaking of the city.
How about that? Isn't that wonderful?
Father, we're praying for the shaking of your state. I'm in South Carolina, you know, over in Conway.
Okay.
I pastor a church here. But it seems that the LGBT community, that they are trying to destroy your governor and our governor.
Can you believe how vicious they are?
And I'm telling you, the 2% of the population supposedly in the condition that they're in, and our big companies are bowing to them, and our churches are sitting by quiet, and it breaks my heart, brother.
Well, it breaks my heart, sir. And we've got liberal churches in this city that are actually defending the homosexuals and the transgender people in this case. And they want to open up our restrooms to where these poor transgender people don't have to go in a bathroom that happens to be according to their physical person. It is so insane. I sat at least a little bit intelligence as a man, and I'm trying to figure out why would anybody defend something so absolutely gross. Absolutely gross. Why would a little boy have to go in his bathroom and see a woman in there? I guess they can't use their urinal. They'd have to use the other part. It's all crazy.
Yes, sir. It's stupid. And like Lee Bryant here in South Carolina, he's from the upstate, said, you know, let's use some common sense. And I'm afraid today that our common sense is gone in our nation here. And, brother, it's time for the church. We sat idly by in the 60s and let one fuzzy-headed atheist go to Washington and have prayer and Bible reading removed from the school. And in the 60s, we didn't have to have armed guards walking the corridors of our schools as we do today.
You said it right, brother. And I'm, you know, I'm trying to get people. I stay on biblical subjects. I've had people telling me you got to deal with this bathroom situation, and I've dealt with it a little bit. And I feel tremendously concerned about it. And I'm praying. I'm staying before the Lord. And our governor, as far as I know, is still being strong. I know our General Assembly is going to be strong, or I believe they are. We've got some wonderful men and women who serve there, and these people, they will ballyhoo it, and they will make some of the most ridiculous statements. And I would say to Bruce Springsteen, I hope you never come back to North Carolina. Hey. And all of your lacks, I hope you never step your foot in the state again, because they are out to corrupt everything they're part of.
Yes, sir. And you know, I saw the news last night that a church there, I believe it's in Charlotte, I stand to be corrected, it's a Methodist church, had put them out to rainbow flags in support of of the homosexuals.
I'm sure they did. We got the isn't it amazing what the Methodist Church was 100 years ago and what it is today? John Wesley would absolutely disown it, and he would say, "Take down the name Methodist. You're nothing but a bunch of you're just a bunch of messed up people." I don't know what words he'd use, but he'd be stronger than I'm being.
He'd kick the foot of the casket out, I imagine, if he knew what was going on.
I'm sure. Thank you, sir. And we're praying. Let's pray together. Let's you and I pray together, okay? If you don't mind, I'll pray, and you just say amen, and then I'll let you finish the prayer. Don't be long. Let's just take a moment to pray. Father, we pray for North Carolina.
Yes.
We pray for those who are willing to compromise with this immoral attitude that has no sense. It flies right in the face of the Bible, right in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, right in the face of the great Creator, and right in the face of every one of us who believe in just good, old, sensible, moral Bible living. And we pray for a miracle, Father. Stand by the governor and stand by every representative in the House and the Senate and help us to stand tall and give us a miracle in Jesus' name.
Yes.
You pray.
God, that you would just, Lord, just move upon the nation. And God, I ask you today that you'd give us a backbone big as a saw log, ribs like railroad cross ties, and a bucket of courage kicked over in the gable end of our soul, Lord, that we might be able to stand against the homosexual movement and all these hellish ideas that people are bringing and trying to force upon people today. God, we thank you for Brother Joe. Thank you for this radio program. And I pray, God, that you just use him as he ministers to us today. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate your call, and may God bless you. We're having a weekend of revival. I couldn't believe the crowd we had this morning. We've never had that crowd in a camp meeting we ever had like we had this morning. And so I'm already in the midst of getting this young people back and doing this again at the close of our revival, our camp meeting, I'm sorry, in June. Our revival starts on June the 27th. And if these group of singers and people can help me, we're going to do a Saturday and Sunday that weekend of youth revival, right in company with the end of our camp meeting. Mike Switzer is our camp meeting preacher, and they don't come no better. But I'm telling you, tonight, you will enjoy hearing Keith Ambrose. You really will. He's the grandson, the son and the grandson of a good grandfather preacher and a good father preacher and a good great grandfather preacher. I knew him too before he went on to heaven. So we're excited. 7 o'clock tonight, 11 o'clock, 10:50 in the morning, and 6 tomorrow evening. And Pastor, I wish you could be here.
Amen. Brother, we'll be praying for you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Now grab your phone. Let's spend these last 20 minutes on the line. We're going to pray for the sick. I may wait till send 10 till to pray for the sick. And so everybody out there that needs a miracle, why don't you call the staff here and let them send you a copy of this good article and just give them your name and they'll hand it to me and I'll pray for you. I would love to have somebody who really needs a miracle even on the line while I'm praying, because I believe in the virtue of healing. Call quickly. Want to hear from you. Do you believe in divine healing? Are you a person who believes that God can turn this nation upside down and somehow bring us back to our past, our great past? I'm telling you, America's been the greatest experiment of self-government for many, 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 many decades and centuries. I mean, all the way back to when the Jews really, really were under the judges and were doing right. I mean, it has been wonderful. But the devil is doing everything he can to destroy it, and our politicians are dime a dozen. A dime a dozen. Don't you vote for the establishment. You vote for somebody that wants to turn this nation around. You may say, well, they're not perfect. I know. There's nobody out there running that's perfect. But you got to vote for some of them. There are only but two possibilities, only one in my mind. But I'm telling you, it never has the need been greater. Grab your phone. Don't wait now. Grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Do we have anybody that needs healing? You can send an email, jrc@paulcreek.org. I would have thought, with divine healing being my subject today, that the email would have just gone almost ballistic with people calling and saying, I love the teaching of the divine healing power of Jesus Christ. I love to know that by His stripes we are healed. How many could I get you out there to repeat with me right now, by His stripes we are healed? Come on, say it again. By His stripes we are healed. I know the medical profession is all around us. It's easy to find a place to go and to get a shot or to get a pill or to get a surgery or whatever you may think you need. But I'm still here to tell you that Jesus heals, and I've been trusting Him with my body for so many years. Trusting Him, running to Him. Oh, He's healed me in so many ways. I just rejoice in it. Did you know that it used to be that a Pentecostal preacher that did not trust God with his body could not be ordained as a minister? They were required to grow to the point of such maturity that they actually believed in divine healing. And if you were sick, or if you are sick, you don't want to get a preacher to pray for you that lives at a doctor's office himself. You don't want that. You want somebody that knows the power of healing in their own life. And that's why I love to pray for the sick, because I know the power of healing in my own life. I'm not putting nobody down. I'm not trying to cut anybody under. I'm not trying to make anybody lesser a Christian than I am. I'm not trying to make you think that I'm better than you. I don't believe that. I don't feel that. Not an inch of that is in my mind, in my spirit. I just love you. And I want you healed. I want virtue to flow. Now, you get ready. You get ready. 10 minutes till, which is about 6 minutes from now, I'm going to pray for the sick. And I'm going to believe God to give me a miracle, more than one, miracles today in people that will call me over the next weeks and say, Brother Chambers, I went to my phone, or I went to my radio, or I went to my computer where I was hearing the sound of your voice, and I put my hand on that physical instrument, bringing me the sound of this prayer, and God gave me a miracle. I felt virtue flow through my body. Now, I have felt that virtue. I've known what it means to pray for somebody and instantly know that they had been healed. I've had that experience a lot of times. I've seen a gorta disappear. I've seen a cancer disappear. I've seen some wonderful healings, not as many as I want and not as many as I should have seen, because I'm just like all the rest of you and us. Sometimes we get too busy with things we doing and don't spend enough time on our faces. The man that preached last night, you ought to order his sermon on either DVD or CD. You ought to order that sermon and hear it. Just a young man, been saved, I believe he said, got saved at six or seven, received the baptism at, I think, 11. He's now 23, maybe it was 14 when he received the baptism. And what a message. I mean, it was one of the best I've heard in years. And you can have a copy of that, by the way. All you got to do is call and say, hey, I want a CD of that, and I'll give you that instead of this booklet on divine healing. It's all about prayer. So grab your phones, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Okay? Are you there? Are you calling? Are you listening? Are you ready? Are you ready for a miracle? How many of you are near your radio now, or near your computer, near your... You may have an iPhone you're listening to me on, just holding your hand. You say, what's the purpose of that? Just making a point of contact. Don't mean anything more than it helps us to believe together. It helps us connect with each other so that you can have a miracle. And then you can come tell us about it tonight, or you can come in the morning and tell us about it. God's a miracle worker. I said He is a miracle worker. He never fails when we trust Him to give us His miracles. So call quickly. I want to hear from you. We'll be glad to send you this. We'll be glad to send you that sermon from last night. That was, I don't know what he named it. I don't remember him even giving it a name, but it was all about prayer. He was saying, basically, we've had enough singing and enough preaching to save the world, but we haven't had enough praying behind it to make it powerful, to make it that is capable of saving the world. Well, I'm telling you, this church is going to prayer. Paul Creek Ministries is going to prayer. Paul Creek Ministries is going to shake the city. The shaking the city only began this weekend. It didn't end. We're going to continue. You hear me, Dylan Beatty? We're going to continue by the power and the grace of Almighty God. You are on the air. May I help you, please? You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Brother Chambers. I was calling about the verse, "By his stripes we are healed."
Yes.
Whenever I'm discussing that with some people, they tend to say, well, that refers to healing in the spirit. Well, you know what? I have asked God to heal me and heal other people, and I've seen them healed. So to me, I think God covers it all, not just the spirit, but the spirit, soul, and body.
Well, tell them to go to Acts chapter 3 and look at Peter as he came back from the upper room where God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And look at that man who's sitting at the steps of the beautiful gate, and he's never been inside the sanctuary. And Peter says, "Such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, he said it in the name of Jesus. That right there settles the whole question. Peter used the name of Jesus, didn't use it. He believed in it. That was a bad statement, used it. Now, Peter stood on it, depended on it, and in the name of Jesus, he declared that man healed. And the man, he just reached and got his hand, and the man stood up as Peter lifted him up and went into the temple walking and leaping and praising God. Now, what more do you need than Acts 3 to prove that Jesus said, "By my stripes you're healed"?
I don't see any other evidence you need.
The Bible's full of it. The Bible's full of it. He healed and healed. Peter healed. Paul healed. Miracles were just as natural as a goose goes barefooted.
You just can't throw that verse away by its time to be healed. You just can't throw that away. You got to do something with it.
That's why they try to interpret don't mean the body. Well, you study the word healing as he used there, and it absolutely means the body. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
God bless you, and you on the air. May I help you, please?
Brother Chambers, I just wanted to call in and confirm the fact that God is a healer. And tell a little story. I had a friend when I was a teenager that they diagnosed him with cystic fibrosis. He went to church one night, prayer meeting night, and he told his mother, he said, "Mom, God healed me tonight." She said, "Robert, are you sure of that?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, God healed me tonight." And the doctor called her and told her, said, "Miss Blankenship," said, "you need to get your son back up. He has tested positive for cystic fibrosis." She said, "Sir, the Lord has healed my son." He said, "Miss Blankenship, I believe in healing and everything." He said, "But would you come up here and let us test him?" She said, "Yes, sir." She said, and he said, if he tests as positive, will you accept God didn't heal him?" She said, "Yes, sir, but if he tests as negative, will you accept God did heal him?" And he said, "Yeah." So they done the test, and about 2 weeks later, he called confounded and said, "Ma'am, I don't know what you've done," said, "but there's a lot of more folks down here that need the same thing." And then people was praying, and God healed that boy of cystic fibrosis.
You know, there is no question that's what God does. I remember being called to the St. Joseph Hospital in Asheville when I was pastoring Black Mountain many, many years ago. I left there in 68, so you know it's a while. And this young girl had a terrible night and almost died. She had a problem with a breathing problem. I'm trying to remember what they called it back then, but it was serious and she almost died. I walked in that hospital room not even knowing these people. not even knowing them. And they'd call me, and I respond when I get a call like that. And I went to pray for her and laid my hands on her, and it was marvelous to me. I had never had such a sense of virtue flowing through me. And as I prayed for her, I perfectly knew she was healed. There was just no doubt. Well, the next day, everybody in that room was calling for me and saying, "You prayed for this girl and she was completely healed. Will you come pray for me?" Well, I went back and prayed for the others. It didn't happen for the others. It happened for that little girl who believed God. Believed God. You see, it isn't just my faith. I prayed for people by my faith and they got healed. But Jesus said on one occasion, he could not do many miracles because of their unbelief. The reason there aren't many miracles in our world today is because our churches are ate up with unbelief. The churches are almost worse than the world.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's so much worldliness in the church now. Back years ago, people was on fire for God. They was fasting and praying and seeking God.
They were full of Jesus.
Yeah, they depended upon God.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, sir. Your call has been wonderful and well received, and we're going to pray, okay? Right now. Everybody out there that's listening, I want you to hear me. We're going to go to God. We're going to pray together, and we're going to believe God to give you a miracle, okay? Now, many of you are calling. The phones are ringing off all of a sudden. I've done my best to lay a groundwork for you. There is no doubt Jesus heals today. Jesus heals today. You can be healed. Your blind eyes can be open. Your deaf ears can be open. Your dumb speech can be open. Your legs can be healed. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe while I am praying all the way to Australia, wherever there's somebody watching or listening, I'm asking that virtue flow like a river through their body. Hallelujah. Father, I believe it's happening. I believe it's happening. Thank you, Father, for healing those blinded eyes. I can't wait to get the call. Thank you for healing that deaf ear or deaf ears. Thank you for those legs that have been so wounded that they cannot walk. Maybe he's a soldier boy and he was wounded in Iraq or in Afghanistan and his whole life is falling apart. Let him right now be healed. Father, you're the healer. Heal him and change him and give him a new lease on life, a new hope in life, and send him out to be a witness of what you've done. Oh, Father, I'm believing it. I'm believing somebody's being healed of cancer. I believe that gorter is disappearing, God. I believe that knee that's all crippled up, and they think they're going to have a knee. Let healing flow through that knee and make it well. You are wanting to heal us. You are wanting to manifest your glory in us and help us to learn to lean on the virtue of the cross. Jesus, you suffered in that hall of Pilate. They beat your back. They turn your body into a terribly wounded specimen of humanity. Your flesh was hanging off of your body like rags, Lord. You were beaten in a moment of life, and it was all for our healing. By those virtuous stripes, we are healed, and I claim it. Hallelujah, and I believe it. And it's happening. Somebody is being healed. Grab it out there, somebody, and stand on it. Don't you doubt it another moment. You believe that you're well, will you? You believe that you're healed, will you? I claim it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Wow, somebody's been healed. Somebody's been healed, and somebody else can be healed tonight or in the morning. Revival is coming. Revival is here. Revival is here, my friends. Now keep calling 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. The ladies are standing by. I'm here to help you. You on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. I'm sorry. Got to turn up the mic. You on the air. May I help you, please?
A week from Monday, a young lady from Switzerland will bring her family to the United States into Charlotte. When she was less than 5 years of age, she had a growth on her hip. It was revealed by orthopedic x-rays. A pastor laid hands on her and anointed her with oil one night. We went back to the doctor, and the capsule that had formed on her hip disappeared. The pastor's name was Joseph Chambers, and it happened in the late 1970s.
Woo!
On God.
Hallelujah. Was that was the prayer by telephone, long distance?
I talked to you after the program was over, and you asked me to bring her, and I went over, I took her over to your church, and you anointed her, and it disappeared, and it was wonderful. I've never, God used you, and I wanted everybody in the world that listens to this program to know that it was real, and that she's got two children. Her husband's coming as an economist with Swiss Bank. He's Swiss citizen. She speaks French, German, and English.
Are you going to bring them back to church?
Yeah, I think I'll take her. I'll see if I can get her to come over and visit with you when she's here.
When will she be in town?
She's coming a week from Monday.
Oh, boy, a week from Monday. Please, please, don't let it fail. Hallie, let me tell you experience. I was at the Presbyterian Hospital one day. And I was coming down the elevator, and a man and his wife was on the elevator, and they were crying. And I stepped over to him and said, folks, you, until something is deeply wrong, what can I do to help you? Our little daughter, they just pronounced that she is dying. There's no hope for her, and we are heartbroken. I said, let's don't accept that. Let's claim a miracle. I laid my hands on them out in front of the elevator, if I remember right, and we had a Holy Ghost prayer. I mean, God came down. It wasn't but what, 2 or 3 weeks, he came looking for me. I didn't even tell him my name. He came looking for me and found me in the parking lot and said, I got to tell you what happened that day when you prayed for Mama and I at the hospital, and God had healed her. And then I remember a man, we were in line to vote for Ronald Reagan for president. It was over at the school off of the Freedom Drive. I'm trying to remember the name of that school. And was in a big long line the whole length of that school. And we were standing in line waiting. It's going to take a while. And he come up to me and said, would you pray for my wife? And he told me the problem. Well, I just stopped right where I was, laid my hands on him, and we prayed. And right there in the hall, and I guess everybody, I pray loud, everybody heard me. A few days later, he saw me somewhere and said, Brother Chambers, I didn't mean for you to pray for me out in front of everybody, but can I tell you what God did for my wife? And he told me how God had healed her. Isn't that wonderful?
What a say.
It has nothing to do with a man. It has only to do with Jesus.
Exactly.
It's totally Jesus. If I took a moment of credit, I wouldn't see another miracle. But I don't get no credit, except I want to be a yielded man. And I want to believe in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Ooh, what a joy. Thank you for calling and telling that miracle. That makes my little heart explode with joy. Hallelujah. Hey, folks, quit doubting that Jesus is a healer. I don't know why I waited so long today for this thing to open wide open. Now we got emails and all that stuff. But I want to tell you, he is a miracle worker. And maybe we had a better program because you didn't have to watch my face. I don't know what happened to the camera, but it'll be back on by next Saturday. Don't worry about it. We had just as good of a program, and maybe better without it. It don't matter. All we want to do is help you know what it means to be healed. You can be healed. Now, tonight at 7 o'clock, you got to come to this Youth Shake the City. Youth Shake the City. Going to be a good crowd, so come early tomorrow in the morning at 10:50. We start the morning worship. I've even had calls from people out of state coming tomorrow. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, hey, let's have revival. What do you say? Let's shake the city. What do you say? Let's shake the city. I love every one of you. You're real and special to me. You better understand that you are special to me. I care about you. I want to be a blessing to you. I want you to grow in the Lord and the things of God. I hope you'll be with me tomorrow. Please be with me tomorrow. It will make my joy happy. Here's a song that will bless your little heart. Do you hear me? Here's a song that will bless your little heart. I want you to be blessed.
Some people ask me why I'm so happy, even when sorrows press on. They see me laughing while the storm's raging. They wonder where I get my song. But they cannot see the trouble I faced not so very long ago. Well, to comprehend this joy that's within, there's something they need to know. Well, I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered from a desert
dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den. Given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued.
Well, I used to feel trouble. My sorrows were doubled as the burdens of life held me down. I was defeated till I saw what I needed. Then His tender mercy I found. And though life is rough, I'm not giving up. Even when I'm tested and I'm tried, I'll not waste time down, and I'm gonna go on shouting. I've crossed to the winning side. Well, I've been
saved from the flames of a hot burning fire. Lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher. Sheltered from a desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den. Given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued.
Well, I have been
saved from the flames of a hot burning fire. Lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher. Sheltered from a desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den. Given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again.